begins to what? Defile others. And the word defile, as many to be defiled. Root of bitterness swelling up in you defiles many. And the word means to change the color of other people. You see, because you cannot tell me all the bad stuff about every bad thing that ever happened to you and how miserable your life is without it affecting me. Now, hopefully I've got enough of God in me that I can walk away and not be completely scathed. But many believers can't take it. Because you've not engaged, and it's your fault. I mean, God's there. He's always at work. The only reason you feel so far away from God is because you've turned your back on Him if you're in that disposition of mind at one point or another. Because God never moves. The Bible says He's our shepherd. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and I give unto eternal life, and they follow Me. How can you follow Him if you don't hear? He says, I'll give you a voice from behind saying, this is the way, walk in it. Does God speak to you in His reading when you read? He wants to. If He's not speaking to you, it's because we're not listening. We have to be listening and engaged. And He says people can be not only defiled, but in verse 16 further, it says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau who sold his birthright for a morsel of bread. And the whole concept of sold is connected deliberately to the word fornicator. The word fornicator has the idea of being somebody who sells out. We need to be telling our young people today that when you get engaged in premarital relations, in a physical, intimate sense, you're selling out. And that's biblical. And when you sell out, it costs you more than you know. You need to hold out, not sell out. And He says you need to not be a fornicator or a profane person. And the word profane means somebody who's right up on the edge, at the very cusp of walking away. I mean, this is like a baby Christian. He says if anybody's just on the edge and they don't have much upbringing in Christ, you need to be careful that you're not doing the wrong thing, because those profane people will have a real hard time getting their minds around what? Repentance. He says in verse 17, for you know that after he had sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage, well, then when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance. Now the idea here is that if you don't know enough Bible, you're not going to find your footing. Okay? And if people around you are, if we as individuals are throwing other people under the bus with our bitterness and our disengagement and our unwillingness to serve God, listen, God is in the business of using His people. His eyes roam to and fro throughout the whole earth, that He might strongly support those whose hearts are completely His. And He's having a hard time finding some people saying, here am I, Lord, send me. Okay? But the ones that will say that, He will carry and He will use and He will utilize. And sometimes that will be martyrdom. Physical, literal martyrdom. I have a poster we got in the mail not long ago. I thought it was great. It'll show you where people are really laying down their lives. Somalia and other places where people would get killed for being a Christian. We take it for granted. Maybe we take it for granted because we're not really being Christians. You see, Christian was not something we said we were. It's something other people said of us. Do people know you're a Christian? Remember that old saying? The quality goes in before the name goes on. Remember that? I hope it's true of you that others would say he's a Christian, she's a Christian. Because only your good report can be made by virtue of your walking by faith. Well, I don't want to dwell here too much more. There's more I could say, but look down at verse 18. This is where he turns the corner again. We've seen the consequences. If you don't live right, people will be hurt by it. But listen, there's a company to consider too. Look at verse 18. He says, for you are not come unto a mountain that might not be touched. And I'm not going to read all this because he says a lot about it. But if you remember in the Old Testament where Moses went up onto the mountain and he got the Ten Commandments and there was fire and lightning and there was all kinds of fear and things. He was up there 40 days. They made the golden calf and all that. Well, if you even touch that mountain, you were put to death, stone with stone, shot through with an arrow. They had to be killed if they touched the mountain. He says, you're not come to that fear kind of thing. You're not come to that place where there's all kinds of foreboding. He says, that's not where you come. Let your eye fall down to verse 22. He says, but you are come. And you might underline those words, but you are come, because this is the important thing. He said, but you are come unto Mount Zion. And we might interject the word true. The true Mount Zion. The true mountain of God. The true burning place. He says, the true city of the living God. Verse 22. The whole book's been about the true. Jesus is the true. All the offerings of sacrifices of sheep and goats and all that, that was all shadows. Jesus is the substance. Jesus is the true. And you have not come to a shadowy place like Mount Zion was in the Old Testament. You've come to the true Mount Zion. You've come to the true heavenly city. And look at this in verse 22. You've come to the true heavenly Jerusalem. Now, Very cool about the heavenly Jerusalem. It's going to be there in the millennium. And after the millennium, in the eternity future, new heaven, new earth, there's going to be a heavenly Jerusalem floating above the earth. And you come to it now. The Bible says we are right now, right now, right now, seated with Christ in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. Far above principalities and powers. You can read that in Ephesians 1 and 2 and 3. And you can find out you're already in. You have already come to this city. You're in it. The Bible says the kingdom of God is among us. We who know Christ are already heavenly citizens. He says it in Philippians. Your citizenship is in heaven. You're already there. So when you see this world dissolving, that's okay. That's okay. It's like the curtain going down or going open to go to another side, you know. Oh, pretty curtain, velvet, nice, pretty. Okay. But when it starts opening, the real good stuff starts happening, right? What you came for? What'd you come for? I came for glory. I came for eternal life. I came for everlasting joy. I came for fullness of joy. I came for pleasures forevermore. That's what I came for. So when I see the curtain starting to part, I'm like, sign me up. Woohoo! Now, I'll tell you, I don't care much about those roller coasters. The teens were saying, we need to go to Cedar Point. I said, yeah, we need to do that. Because they're going to try to get me on that stupid dragster now. And I ain't going. And I'm going to use every little nuance to get out of it. Like that line is way too long. You know what I'm saying? How many are with me? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now we're preaching. Amen. Well, you've come to a company. I want you to consider the company. Look at the company he brings up in here. He says in verse 23, you've come to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God of to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect. This is your family. You need to consider your family. And your family is made up of some of the best people this world has ever known. Chapter 11 says, people of whom the world was not worthy, they are your friends. They are your family. They are your comrades. They are the witnesses, and you are part of them. He says, you need to realize you've come to a great company. And he says in verse 24, best of all, and to Jesus. That's where you come. You've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant into the blood of the sprinkling, which speaketh better things than that of Abel. Abel's was good. He obtained a good report from God, and God had pleasure in his offering. But Jesus' offering makes that look like nothing, because it is nothing. It's a shadow of what God had in mind all along. That's the people of God. That's who you are. And when I say to you over and over again, we are the saints of the living God, the children of the King, and we have a heritage, I'm telling you what's true. And when you get down and you begin to scrutinize, I'm telling you guys, when you begin to scrutinize, in fact, when he says consider him, back in verse 4 or 3, the word means to analyze him. Because when you analyze what's yours, it cannot help but ennoble who you are and how you see yourself. You may have to blow the hair out of your face sometimes. Say, brother, this may have been a hard day, but God is chastening. God is changing. He's making you sweeter. He's making you better. He's making you holy. Finally, I want you to consider the kingdom. Because he's just talked about this kingdom in one sense, but he says this as he unfolds in verse 25 and following. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. The word refuse means to ask for something else. Have you ever done that? Somebody gave you something? And you're thinking, yeah. I had two juices in my Sunday school class this morning. I had juicy juice, and I had fruit juice that was just generic. It was funny to watch the young people. It's like, well, I'm not drinking the stuff with the generic. I'm going for this. And that's the way we all are. We all do that. We want the best, and that's good. But the best is Jesus. The best is Christ. You don't want to take the best and say, well, I don't want the best. I want the generic. Because the world's got a whole lot of generics. Paul said to the Corinthians, I'm afraid of you. If somebody brings you another Jesus, you'll receive him. There's a lot of Jesuses out there. The Jehovah's Witnesses have a Jesus. The Mormons have a Jesus. The Roman Catholicism have a Jesus. There are works Jesuses. And there are false Jesuses. And there's Jesuses that are really not Jesus at all, but they're Michael, but he's got the name Jesus. They got all kinds of Jesuses. You can go pick your pick. And the one that you think, you got the rocking Jesus. You can see him, right? I could see Jesus going to a rock concert, can't you? He's standing down there waving with everybody else. I don't think so. But there's one out there for you. There's one out there for you. Went over to the bookery. Oh, don't get me started. They have Guitar Hero for rock and roll Christians. Really? Okay. Tell you what, I don't want that. Personally, just me. Just me. Because I don't think that's where Jesus would be hanging out. Just me. You can do what you want. You are your own guide by this book. If you can find him rocking out, I'm telling you, you just join him with it. But I'm telling you something, I don't see him in there that way. I see him serving. I see him calm, cool, and collected. I see him saying, I am meek and lowly. And I see a smoking flax I do not quench, and a bruised reed I do not break. I see him condescending. I see him serving. He says, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Grab your guitar and come on. I always love it when I hear a song on the radio that's kind of rocked out, and it's like, I'll do anything you want, Jesus. I thought, I wonder if he'd give up his guitar. Well, what would I do then? I'd lose my contract. I digress. Go back to verse 25. He says, see that you refuse him, not him who speaketh. Now, he started out, God in sundry times and last days, he spoke to us by the prophets. He says, in these last days has spoken unto us by his Son. So you see the theme. God's been speaking in real time in his humanity and now from heaven through his Holy Spirit and the authorship of his word. And the Bible says, don't refuse him that speaketh, because he that, for if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more now, shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? He, Jesus, is now speaking on our behalf from glory. The Bible says he is our advocate with the Father. He represents us. Verse 26 says, whose voice then shook the earth. And that's where he's talking about Mount Sinai again. Remember, the people said, we don't want to hear it. You know, you talk to him, Moses, because it freaks us out. That's what they said. They said, scares us to death. You talk to him. And Moses even said that he had great fear. Verse 21, Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. It was a scary thing. He says, if God shook the earth with his physical voice back in Mount Sinai in the olden days, he says, how much more? He kind of brings it down. He says in verse 26, he says, yet once more, he says, he did shake the earth, but now he hath promised yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing all things that are shaken as of the things that are made, and those things which cannot be shaken may remain. He wants to do it that he might shake it. Now, folks, listen. What he's saying is this. He's saying God is going to come, and he's going to come one more time. And when he comes one more time, he's going to come in power and great glory. He's going to reign for 1,000 years. At the end of 1,000 years, he'll overthrow the last enemies. And at that point, the Bible says he's going to fold the heavens up like a garment, and he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, not in 6 days, but in a moment it appears. Amen. There it is. New heaven, new earth, and it's our home. He says you need to be careful not to be asking for something else when you got the best. Because God has got some great things in store for you. So he says, consider this kingdom. He says in verse 28, wherefore, seeing, in essence, is the idea, we are receiving a kingdom. He says, consider that kingdom. What kingdom? The kingdom, real kingdom. You know, video games have all these ornate, beautiful little scenarios and sceneries and what they call environments. You know, it looks like the kingdoms. They got like stones and they got castles and all that. Listen, that's all just ash. That's nothing compared to where you're going. You're going to cities of gold, streets of gold, cities with pearl gates. You're going to go with crystal seas, and you're going to go with trees that will heal you in a moment, that will light you up. Water of life that when you drink it, you'll just be peeking all the time with joy. You'll be laughing and splashing, and it'll be all good. That's where we're going. That's what he's saying. We've come to a kingdom, and you're in now. Don't lay down. Don't let your hands lay down. Get engaged and do something for God. We have all these witnesses back there who've said, I'll lay down my life. Just come and follow me. It's going to be okay. And God always showed them it was okay. And it's okay for you. And it's okay for me if we'll just trust him. Doesn't mean you won't have to bleed, but it does mean it will be worth it. Paul said, this light affliction I count as just that which will make for a far greater way to glory. The more adversity you have to absorb, just remember, it works for you a far greater weight of glory. In verse 28, he says, seeing we have, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, cannot be shaken or moved, let us have grace. Do you know what that is? That's an answer back to where he says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and help in time of need. You and I have access to grace. He tells Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You want to know how hard it is? You know, your own life, you got your own story. But there is grace for that if you will go. Cast all your care upon Him. He cares for you. And I will close with this. I was reading about Spurgeon yesterday. It was a devotional. He said this, how is it that you're all cumbered about everything you're dealing with today? As if your Father and your God cannot handle that. How is it that you can say that I can trust Him for my eternal welfare, but I can't trust Him for my temporal welfare? How is it I can say I can trust Him with the details of my eternity and not trust Him with the details of my time? You know, when he said what he said, he knew what the caveats would be. You say, yeah, but you don't understand. God did. You think God understood? I think He did. You say, it's hard. He think He knew that? Yeah, He knew that. It's going to be hard. But you know what he says? Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, what? I'll fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. If you want grace, he says, let us have grace. Let us have grace.